Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and I'll get you out on time, if not, maybe just a couple minutes early. Matthew chapter 11. Keep your Bibles out. We're going to use them a bit this evening, but I want to help you. I challenge you, be here next Sunday morning. It took everything inside me not to preach next Sunday's sermon this morning, but it's there, it's loaded, it's ready, it's in the chamber ready to fire, amen. It's ready to go, but you'll be here next Sunday morning. But tonight, I want to help you. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to read verses 28, 29, and 30 together. How about you let me read verses 28 and 29, and you join me on verse 30, all right? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, teach us tonight. May we have ears to hear what your Spirit saith to the church. Speak through my voice, and may I be a tool in your hand to get your word to your people, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is, of course, always the best example of what we need to be as a Christian. If you ever want to know how you're supposed to act in a certain situation, just find out how our Savior would have responded and respond likewise, or do what he tells us to do, and you'll be okay. Now, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, and let me paint the picture for you. I say these things sometimes kind of sarcastically, but I mean it every time I say it. Jesus wasn't as the denominationalists, the Catholics, and others picture him as this long-haired little hippie that wiggled when he walked and looked like some sissy. I never saw a guy that wiggled when he walked attract business people and attract rough, tough fishermen,
yes, sir.
Construction people,
yes.
Common man.
He
was tough enough to go in and chase out. He made a whip and chased out the money changers and kicked over the tables in the temple. Now, if he was tough enough to do that, he didn't wiggle when he walked. And by the way, we've allowed the Catholics and the worldly unsaved artists to picture Jesus as some long-haired sodomite that he was not. He was a common man, but he was a strong man. He was very confident, but very strong. He was average in build and in height and in looks. Matter of fact, they really didn't believe he was who he was because he was just so common. Now, I say that to say this. Jesus tells us to find rest in him because of a certain quality he had. We find rest, or we find confidence, we find strength in someone else because of who they are and what they are. The very Son of God said we could find rest and help with all of our burdens if we gained this quality. And tonight, we're going to talk about that quality, and the quality is this, meekness. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Now, many people don't understand what meekness is. Meekness is not weak and wimpy. Meekness is not this sheepish little do whatever somebody tells you to do and don't make any noise. That's not what meekness is. The word meekness comes from a Greek word that literally means to level or to steady. It is where we get the word homogenized with milk or with something. You homogenize milk by you have to heat it to a certain temperature, get rid of the bacteria, but it also mixes the cream and the milk together to where it doesn't separate. That's what homogenize, it means it's all suspended together and not going to separate. It's all equal all the way through. Everybody understand that? Now, that is exactly what meekness is. Meekness is steadiness. It's not real high. It's not real low. It just barrels its way through pretty steady. We live in the world that longs for meekness. We don't have leadership in America like we used to have. It used to be, and by the way, I thank God for a president that's choosing some pretty tough, strong leaders. General Mathis, there's a reason they call him Mad Dog. He's never been married. He has married himself to the United States military. He carries his own bags. He sets his own alarms and his own schedule. And he won't let somebody carry his bag. And he's a four-star general. People don't mess with him. He doesn't call people on the telephone. He has somebody call them and says, I'll be there. I'm going there. Doesn't matter where at in the world is. If he needs to meet with somebody in Asia, he gets on a plane and flies there while they set up the appointment and says he's in the air. He'll be there. You better be ready for him. He's that kind of face-to-face confrontational leader. I like that. By the way, that's called meekness. There's a strength there. You don't see him going around like a banty rooster in America, though, strutting his stuff. Most of you, that's the first time you've ever heard anything like that. Because he's a meek person. He's steady. He's strong. Now, the commercialism of our day, the negative slant to the news, the push for spontaneity in advertising, everything is, well, oh, I see that. I got to go buy that. Oh, I got to get that new toy. I got to get that new phone. I got to get that new computer. I got to go get this. I've got to have this Wi-Fi. I've got to have that internet. That's called not being meek. Meekness is steadiness. Meekness is that ability to get past the spontaneity of everything in life. I'm going to get in trouble for this. My wife probably is the most meek person I ever met. There's two people in here that have known my wife almost or as long as I have. I've known my wife for 30 years. She's the same now as she was 30 years ago, other than me. My wife is one of the most consistent people you will ever meet. Now, you're not going to see her out on the basketball floor being the head cheerleader. But you're not going to see her walking around with her lower lip on the ground saying, poor me, and I need your attention because look at me, I have a pity party. She just rock steady, just coasting through. And that's pretty tough when you're married to me. She got to be that way. Now, I say that to say meekness does not mean you are weak. Meekness means you have your strength under control. My children will tell you there's another side to that woman. And when she gives you a certain look, you'll do what she says or else. I forget where we were at. I think we were at the college. And Mindy was doing something and my wife just looked at her. And Mindy said, don't look at me that way, Mom. I didn't do anything wrong. And she said, what do you mean? She said, you're giving me that look. My kids know. Jeff was there and he said, I think Brandon said something or something. And she gave him kind of the evil eye once just for fun to see what he would do. And Jeff said, ooh, you're in trouble. You got the look. I love it. I call it the teacher face. You know, you got to have that, you know, that scowl at a certain point in time. Meekness is not the is not the absence of strength. It is strength that is controlled. It's the ability to know when to use the strength, how much strength to use, so that you don't overpower everything. It's not the bull in the china shop mentality. You know, just brute strength and kick everything, knock it down, say, I'm here. Well, yeah, everybody knew it, and look what's destroyed around you because you're here. That's not meekness. Now, let me get into this, and I'll give you just two or three things, but we're going to use our Bible. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to give you the first point here. First thing about meekness is this. meekness and gentleness work together. Meekness and gentleness work together. Look at verse number 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Notice meekness and quiet or gentleness go together. They're closely related. Meekness is an inner grace. Gentleness is the outward expression of it. Brother Stoltz, stand up for a second here. Now, I love shaking hands with Mike Schenenberger. I love listening to Mike Schenenberger train our boys and our bus kids to shake hands. I'm for teaching a boy that when you grab a man's hand, you look at it, and then you look him square in the eye, and you grab it securely. I'm for that. I'll even teach little boys. I'll squeeze their hand a little bit, and they'll go, and say, look, a man squeezes a man's hand. But then those boys grow up to be teenagers. And their hands get about like a vice grip. If you grab a hold of my son, Josh, Mike, you know what I'm talking about. My son, Josh, will hurt you. I also had to teach my boys, there are men in their senior years whose hands are full of arthritis, and you can't grab them that way. You'll hurt them. His grandfather was trying to teach him that at one point in time. He quit shaking hands with my son for a while because of that. I'm not kidding. And I had to teach him some meekness. Son, we know you're strong, but you don't have to prove it to everybody. Grab a man's hand the right way, but you got to be realizing you're not going to walk up to somebody that's in their senior years and grab it like you are another teenage guy. Oh. And I said, you don't grab a woman's hand and go, how you doing there? You don't do that. You got to do it a little different way. And I rarely initiate a lady's hand. Sometimes I do. I think it's more habit than anything. But I usually wait for a lady to offer a hand. But if a lady offers me her hand, I'm not going to. I just barely grab a hold of it. And I actually only put her fingers into my hand and grab my thumb over the top of it. And that's all I'll do usually. You say, why? Because my hands are fairly strong and I don't want to hurt them. I'm not supposed to walk up and say, hey, Julian, wham, like I would Brother Stoltz. Say why? Because that would hurt her. Does it make me less strong to do that? No, it makes me more strong, called meekness. God said that is of great price to him if we know how to use that strength. Meekness means to fit into all of life well. It means to be appropriate. That means this. Meekness is being strong enough to fit in with dignitaries or bus kids. It means being able to fit in at a ball game or fit in at a business meeting with the county. It means being able to go hunting, work in the garden, and work under a mower. Amen, Dad. Or be able to go soul winning and dress appropriately. It is that strength of knowing what and how to be in all those situations. There are some preachers I would love to take hunting and make them gut an animal, because I know they'd be throwing up. They need some meekness training. They need some toughening up. They need to wear a pair of cowboy boots instead of a pair of Stacy Adams shoes. They just need a little bit of extra oomph in them. Amen? That doesn't mean that they're effeminate. It's just nobody taught them those things. But I believe you ought to be able to wear the Stacy Adams too. I'm for both, just so you know. I've got both. So, you know, well, these aren't Stacy Adams, but I can't afford those. Now, meekness means being able to fit into all situations. I'm not the smartest person in the world. I have no problem saying that. But I'm not ignorant either. I study hard. I've studied hard. I've prepared well. I can keep up in most topics with most people. I can talk construction. I can talk engineering. I can talk to our builder and say, Brother Jimmy, I'm not the smart one here. This is your area. But this doesn't make sense to me, wouldn't it? He's a preacher. He said, you're thinking just right. Don't you keep going. Don't worry. Or no, you can't do that. You're right. Can't do that. But I'll at least let him know I'm thinking. You have to understand, meekness means firm care. It's love wrapped in kindness. Did you know, meek people, did you know Jesus lost his temper? But he didn't lose it by accident. He planned when he lost it.
Yes, sir.
It's a mom for a child who makes the doing of right more important than how, moms, teaching your children to do right and to work is as important as them getting straight A's on their report card. Not, and if you have a boy, give up on straight A's. Now, I'm not saying that they couldn't. I think that they ought to do their best. And teaching them that balance. I'm for a young man learning how to play instruments. Amen, Brother Stoltz?
Yes, sir.
I know how to play several different instruments. I can play the radio. I played trumpet for many years. I've played baritone. I played some French horn. I've played some other instruments as well. I know and I read music. I read both clefs. I understand music theory. I do fairly well in music. Now, I don't play anymore because I don't have the time to practice. I've told Kirsten, I envy her. I would love someday to have the time to sit down and learn to play piano. I could enjoy it. I can read all of the music. But those 66 keys don't make any sense to me. I know in theory what they are, but those fingers and that brain are dyslexic, and boy, does it not sound right. I would love to, but you have to practice and practice and practice and practice, and I don't have the hours each week to put into it that would require me being able to do that. So I don't do it. Now, wait a minute. I think a young man ought to be able to understand music and things, but I don't think that he ought to throw a football like that either.
Amen.
I think he needs to learn both. There's a balance there. That's called meekness, all right? It's discipline with a tear in your eye or a quiver in your lip. That's meekness. It's, I got to be hard on you, but I don't want to do this. You're forcing me to do this. Whew, my kids hated hearing that. Meekness is strength under control, or strength restraint. Turn your Bible, Proverbs chapter 30. I want to show you something. Proverbs chapter 30. And by the way, men, we have a harder problem with this than the ladies do, just so you know. Proverbs chapter 30. Look at verse number 2. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the holy. Now look at me for a second. The writer here is, and God is using him to say, look, you might be the strongest person around, but you don't understand like a man's supposed to understand. You might be able to lift 250 pounds, bench press it. You might be able to squat 600 pounds. You might be able to tear anybody's head off, rip anybody's head off. You can pick the car up without a jack. But if you don't understand like a man, what good is it? If you don't have the ability to get along with each other and take care of those that cannot do those things, you gotta use some sense here. Fellas, your wife is not as tough as you are. Well, most of your wives are not as tough as you are. this is West Virginia. Meekness is strength under control. It's restrained. You should be able to be strong, but be able to be gentle around those that are not as strong. I'm for teaching a boy to push himself a little bit. I've used this illustration a lot. My boys really thought
that a lawnmower has two handles on it for a reason. And in my house, it did. The short one was for them. The tall one was for me. When they were too little to reach the top one and push the lawnmower, they stood in between me and the mower, and grabbed the hold of that thing, and pushed what little they could push. And I didn't push 100%. I may have pushed 90%. But they were pushing. They were mowing. Then they grew a little bit. Then it was time for them to push a little more, and I backed off a little more, and they were like, Dad, this is getting harder. Grass must be thicker. Yeah, push a little bit more. Then they started pushing more. Then it was too hard for them to push down there because they growed up a little bit, and I said, okay, you push up here, and I'll put my hands on yours. And then they started pushing like this. Then they grew to where I didn't have to push, and I could sit there and watch them do it.
Yay!
Then they grew to where I didn't have to watch them do it. I told them to do it. And then they broke the mower. we figured that one out real fast. Now, wait a minute. I'm for teaching them those things. But may I say this, there's got to be a teaching and a training process in them growing into it. At 5 years old, they don't mow the grass with a push mower. When they were 2 and 3, they had their little plastic one out there that didn't do anything. But when they got big enough to be able to grab hold of that thing and not get their feet underneath the lawnmower, they were out there with me. I was able to teach them safety. I was able to teach them different things about it, keeping the line straight so that by the time I let go, they were ready to go. Everybody understand? That's called strength under control. Oh, I hurt so bad when I keep going here, but I've got to hurry. Number two, so meekness is gentleness. Number two, meekness is evenness. Steadiness. Take your Bible, turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, right after the book of 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse number 2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Wow. Now, I believe there's a time in life where a feller's got to fight.
Yes.
It's not often, but there are times when you might have to. But I don't think that you ought to be going around fighting all the time looking for a fight. That's what a brawler is. I taught my boys if somebody said something bad about their mama or their sister, and they needed business taken care of, take care of the business, and we'll mop it up later. You defend your mama, you defend your sister. You don't worry about your daddy, he can take care of himself. You defend your friends. If somebody's picking on one of your friends and it's unjust, you take care of it. My son got brought to my office as principal one day. He was fighting. It wasn't much of a fight. Kid was picking on one of his friends and had been picking on him for weeks, and my son had had enough, and the kid opened his mouth and my son filled it.
Yeah.
Knocked him right off his feet. There was only one punch thrown in the whole fight.
Good.
He was brought to my office by the teacher, as he should have been.
Yep.
He sat in my office with his chin down. Teacher told me what happened. I dismissed the teacher. I asked my son what happened. And I said, you're going to get X number of demerits for fighting.
Yes, sir.
I wrote out the demerits. I tore it in half, kept the half for the office, put it in the tray. I gave him his half. I said, now give it back to me. He looked at me. I signed it. I handed it back to him. I stood up. I walked around my desk. I said, put her there. Good job, son. I said, sometimes getting demerits is worth it, and you did right, and I'll sign them again if you have to do it. Don't you worry about it. He still got his demerits. He never had to throw another punch the rest of his life. Not one. But he was defending his friend. He said, I don't think you should condone violence. I didn't. It wasn't violent. It was over very quickly.
He knew when it was right to do it. But a brawler has that under control. We're to be meek with all people. It's a command. God didn't say, I would desire you to do this. He said, I am meek and lowly. Be meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew chapter 5. Everybody doing okay? God does not command what you cannot do. It's for you to follow after. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, we don't have time to turn there, but it says, follow after meekness. Means chase after, go after meekness, be like the meek. We must have meekness to be part of God's elect. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. We're to show meekness to the ignorant and to the unknowing who have erred from the way. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll take time to turn to this one. I have so much here that I want to give you, but there's just not time. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse number 21. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in a spirit of meekness? Notice he says with a rod and in love with a spirit of meekness. That rod isn't just a stick, that's a whooping stick. He said, shall I come to you with a paddle or just in love? He said, I'm going to come with both in meekness. Everybody doing okay? We are to control our tongue with meekness. Ouch. This one's going to hurt. Turn to James. Everybody ready? Okay, I love you, but it's coming. Here it is. I want you to see something here, and I want you to understand the whole context. This isn't just about church. This isn't just about being spiritual. Notice how God words all of this. James chapter 3, look at verse number 1. My brethren, not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Masters, that means bosses. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. But also ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now, I want you to notice something. You can meek a horse with a bridle. A bridle is that thing that goes over their neck. There's a bit in their mouth, and it's the reins come off of that. That's basically the bridle. And you turn the horse, you stop the horse, or you get the horse going. You guide the horse. That's the steering wheel for the horse. And it's all done with that little bridle, those little pieces of leather and a piece of metal in their mouth. Now, they do have bits in a horse's mouth that sometimes they have a cutter bit. You get an ornery horse, and it's got a little clip in there that as you pull back on it, it starts pinching this part of their mouth, and they don't like that. You can draw blood with them if you pull hard enough. If they're too stubborn to listen, you got to break them. They have all that power, but what good is that power if it's not under control? That horse is worthless to you to use as a tool to ride, to pull behind in front of a plow. It is worthless unless you're able to control him. God says we're supposed to meek our tongue. As Christians, we're to meek our tongue. Notice verse 1, masters in many things. That means your boss. That means when you want to complain about something at work, meek your tongue. That means if your wife fixes something you don't like, meek your tongue. Now she might ask, did you like it? Yeah, it was fine. You don't have to say, no, I hated it. That's bad. No, you learn to eat it. What she feeds me, I will swallow. Amen. It doesn't have to be my favorite thing. I'm not going into that one. I got in trouble last time. Wait a minute. we're to meek our tongue. You meek your tongue by controlling it. You have the ability. Bible says life and death are in the power of the
tongue.
It is a fire set on of hell. You have the ability to change the course of nature with your tongue. Look at what all these idiots are teaching about evolution and global warming. They are setting, they are changing the course of nature based on their tongue and people's stupid ability to not be able to discern right from wrong scripturally. So, meekness is gentleness, meekness is evenness, and number three, and I'm done, Jesus was our greatest example of meekness.
Yes, sir.
In choosing 12 disciples, look at who he chose. Peter, James. James and John were known as the sons of Zebedee or the sons of thunder. Thunder is not real calm. Have y'all ever been in a real good thunderstorm? I mean one that rattled the house, shook things. They were called the sons of thunder. Can you imagine what it was like growing up in their house? Now, I remember what it was like in my house. Fun meant you push the furniture out of the way and everybody wrestles on the floor. And hopefully you didn't knock the lamps off where you pushed them off of. Throwing kids around. And by the way, that's when I was a kid, not just with my kids. Dad and I and Chris, man, we'd get in the living room and spread things out. And man, it was all out war. 2-on-1. We still lost. We quit when we started winning. Never did understand that. Till I had two boys of my own. Now wait a minute. There was some wear out the wiggle time, but it was under controlled situations. When somebody got mad, then you had to sit in the corner by yourself, and you didn't get to wrestle anymore. If you took it too serious, you were done playing. Say why? Because you had to learn how to do that. I think every boy ought to learn how to box. I do. I think a boy needs to learn how to take a punch. And not get angry. I boxed for about 3 years while I was on staff in Indiana, and we did it for exercise. Now, I didn't allow headshots. We didn't do any headshots, and we did body gear and things. We had 18-ounce gloves, and we didn't hurt each other, but we were doing it for exercise. But I'll promise you one thing. First time I ever boxed in my life, I didn't know how long 3 minutes was. Lord have mercy. And then I realized I had to do this two more times before three rounds were over. My arms felt like wet noodles. Because you got to learn not how to tense up. When somebody's hitting you, you got to let your arms relax. You can't pull your arms as tight as you can and hold them as tight as you can for 3 minutes. I promise you. They start giving out after about 60 seconds. You got to learn how to take a shot. And your arms are just limp. The only time you flex is when you throw a punch. Once I learned that, man, that was a whole lot easier. Hurt a whole lot less. Wait a minute. Meekness, look who Jesus chose. Look at the backgrounds. The Apostle Peter, loud mouth, fly off the handle, angry, cursed, and swore. Everybody doing all right? Then you had the Apostle John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. You never see John doing anything wrong. Now, wait a minute. He attracted everything. He had tax collectors. Now, that was enough to challenge Jesus. That's for sure. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. Look at the wedding supper. He couldn't fill the crowd with rich people, so he said, go out in the highways and hedges and bring the poor people in. We'll take care of them. He was able to reach rich people, but he was also able to reach the poor. He talked to adults, but he said, suffer not the children to not come to me. Bring them to me. He could talk to a child as well as he could talk to an adult. He related to the teenagers. Say, how do you do that? He talked about boogers, snots, and vomit. Everything all works out. He knew how to do those things. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. He healed a man of leprosy who is told to be the scum of the earth. He got criticized. You just walk around with a bunch of sinners. Yeah, he did.
because he was the only one that never did sin. The people criticizing the sinners were worse sinners than the ones he was walking with.
Yes, sir.
He had the ability to relate to all those people. Did you ever notice who he appeared to first after the resurrection? Mary Magdalene, a former harlot, prostitute. He didn't appear to the king. He didn't appear to Caesar. He appeared to harlot that got saved. By the way, she had been possessed by 7 devils before she got saved. She was demon possessed. That's who she went to, who he appeared to first. He said, go tell the disciples, I'll be back. John 3 deals with a political leader named Nicodemus. In John chapter 4, he deals with a fallen woman beside a well who had been taken in adultery. He goes from a rich politician to a harlot taken in adultery and was able to relate to both. In today's society, there would be no difference. But we won't go there. Jesus was our example of meekness. Strength, yes. Strength under control, that is meekness. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can I tell you where you find rest? When there's security. That security is founded in somebody that's strong enough to take care of you, but that's not going to overpower you and overwhelm you and be overbearing on you. When I go soul winning, I'm the same soul winning as I am here. I tell people the truth, but I don't do it. If they got a St. Christopher or a Mother Mary out front, I don't say, you bunch of wicked, rotten, heathen, idol worshipers, you're going to die and fry in hell. I don't do that kind of mess. But I let them know that none of those things are going to get them there. Say, how do you do that? Share the gospel with them.
That's good.
I get the tough cases. People dying. Preacher, might cuss you out, might kick you out. It's okay. I've been cussed out, kicked out before. But he might listen too. Oh, by the way, he did.
Amen.
He did. Just need somebody willing to face him with it. Nobody's had enough courage to face him with it. I'll be honest with you. Brother Mike, I don't like getting cussed out. I don't like people being mad at me. It's not something I enjoy. My wife will tell you, I don't like disruption and people being angry. That bothers me. I hate summertime and you got the windows open and the neighbors are fighting. I close the windows, turn the air on. I can't take it. I can't take that kind of anger and all the nastiness and the words and the evil and all that goes on. It just grates at me. And I don't want people feeling that way about me. Say, why in the world are you a preacher? Because God told me to do it. Meekness. It's not the lack of strength. It's strength under control. It is what Jesus was, and he said, this is what you're supposed to be. You want to find real strength? Learn how to put it under control. Learn how to have strength under control. I'll finish with this illustration. An old man was sitting on a park bench. A boy came by and he said, old man, I have a bird in my hand. He said, tell me, is it alive or is it dead? He said, young man, it's as you will. He said, what do you mean? Is it alive or is it dead? He said, if I tell you it's alive, you'll crush it in your hand. If I tell you it's dead, you'll release it and let it go, so it's as you will. You have the power in your hand to make it either. Christian, you have the power in your hand to be meek or not to be. It's as you will. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. It is as you will. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. Let's keep our strengths under control so we don't overpower people.